applied to a sub-basin. You'd have to interview everyone and say, are you planning to do anything that would concern water? You say, and so that's the preemptive kind of test that the bill creates.
Thank you. Yes. Close the hearing on Senate Bill 205, and we'll go to a work session on Senate Bill 205.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hostica.
I guess I would move the city's amendments if that's necessary to do.
Are you talking about
the Water Resources Department?
That's on this little top sheet. Okay. Everyone understands what those do? Anyone have any objection to those amendments? Okay, we'll accept those amendments. Representative Hostica.
I'm done.
Okay. Chairman. Representative Parkinson.
I'd move amendments labeled -A4, submitted by Dave Nelson.
Okay, amendments -A4 been submitted by Mr. Nelson. Are there objections to these amendments?
I'm going to object, Mr. Chairman. I'd rather adopt a different approach and see if where the committee wants to go by just bifurcating Mr. Nelson's amendments. But if the majority of the committee wants to adopt Mr. Nelson's amendments, I'd still support the bill.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Keyes.
I'd be curious what Representative Hostinger would intend to propose.
What I'd say, as I indicated in an earlier suggestion, was to make the issues of sub-basins apply to the scrutiny that the Water Resources Department would apply, but not to the legislative scrutiny, and then raise the limit on how high a level that would be have to met from half a cubic feet to maybe 20 cubic feet.
Mr.
Representative Hostinger. I'm sorry, Representative Parkinson.
I'm supporting the Nelson amendments, and I think maybe I'm coming from a different place than he is. I don't know how it affects the people he represents, but I do see the possibility of doing unnecessary damage to municipal water supply systems in the future, where for a fairly minor transfer, it would require legislative action to allow them to do it. And then I think you'd have all the different groups coming in opposing it.
Well,
I was pleased to hear Representative Hostica say that if we adopted these amendments with his no vote, he'd still be in favor of the bill.
I would be in favor of the bill, too, but I prefer his approach to saying that the subdivisions or the sub-basins would be under the clearly under the scrutiny of the department, but the others would come to the legislature. But
Mr. Chairman, another thing, assuming that two sets of amendments are compatible. I haven't studied them.
Let me ask you before I get to Representative Jones, where's Bill? Bill, is that your understanding that these amendments would be compatible? Yes, Representative Jones.
Let me just clarify. There is nothing that we're doing with the adopted amendments that removes any current authority from the Water Resources Commission to, in fact, deal with issues within sub-basins as they have been doing now. Right. So if even though adopting this, it does not change what they're able to do.
That's what we're told. Is that
Thank
correct?
You.
Okay. We have a motion. We have objections to the motion. That is to adopt -A4. If the clerk will call the roll to accept the -A4 amendment.
Representative Kiesling.
No.
Vice Chair Parkinson.
Aye.
Representative Pickard.
Aye.
Representative Wehage.
Aye.
Representative Dix.
Aye.
Representative Hostica.
No.
Representative Jones.
Aye.
Chair Cease.
No. The motion carries.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wehage.
One minor cleanup amendment, page 3, line 22.
Yeah.
Put a period after the word origin and delete the words per year.
I don't think there's any objection to that, is there? Okay, we'll accept that. Do we have a motion to approve the bill?
I said I'd vote for it. Why don't you move it?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Senate Bill 205 as amended to the floor with the due pass.
We move to send Senate Bill 205 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, as I indicated, I think we do need this kind of cleanup in order to deal with the interstate, out-of-state transfer. I think that some people had raised some issues that would give a higher level of protection for in-state than current law does, and I think that they deserve to have their chance. However, not having succeeded, we do still have a little bit higher level of protection for in-state issues than current law has, and we have fixed our out-of-state situation, so I'm willing to support the bill.
Okay. Let me indicate, I'm going to vote for the bill too, but I may serve, though this is our last regular meeting, we will be on call, serve notice of possible reconsideration only for the purpose of making sure that these amendments hold together. I'm a little nervous that there are several pieces here and there might be some technical problems.
Mr. Chairman, that does delay it a day. Couldn't we just pull them back if there's a problem?
Well, let's do that.
Yeah, don't serve notice.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do that, I think, for all that, but I want to make sure.
And just pull it back.
All right, that's fine. We have a motion to approve 205 as amended. Send it to the floor with due pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Vice Chair Parkinson.
Aye.
Representative Pickard.
Aye.
Representative Weehae.
Aye.
Representative Dix.
Aye.
Representative Hostica.
Aye.
Representative Jones.
Aye.
Representative Keesling.
Aye.
Chair Cease.
Aye. Motion carries, and that will close the hearing on Senate Bill 205. We have one more bill, and then we'll be done. And I will open the hearing on Senate Bill 816.
Do we have to have a hearing for this?
Yes.
Why don't we get rid of the hearing and go right to work session?
We got a hearing on Senate Bill 816. Blair Bateson, Don Schellenberg, and Kelly Ross. If you want all three to come up.
Where? Are we going to do 40?
No.
On that bullshit timber thing? That's why we're not working stuff. Playing the audience.
It's after 11. I thought I'd remind everyone.
Well, I haven't been asking the questions.
No, I just thought I'd remind everyone, not you.
Well, we have a subject covered up from many of us.
Fascinating area.
I know there are a couple of people on the committee that either are or have been on the water.
Actually, I'd like to serve on the water
committee. I'm not excluding that from my previous remark.
Am I crazy?
They're interesting.
Crazy. Go ahead. Blair, why don't you start?
Good morning. My name is Blair Batson. I'm a staff attorney at 1000 Plains of Oregon. And I'm urging you this morning to support Senate Bill 816. Senate Bill 816 is a corrective measure. It clarifies the existing requirements for locating a non-farm dwelling, which means a dwelling, a single-family residence, not customarily provided in conjunction with farm use and exclusive farm use zones. Because non-farm dwellings are admittedly rural residences or country homes, the owners of which are not farming, they even contend that they are not farming, the existing law requires that the land on which the house is located be, quote, generally unsuitable, close quote, for farm use. The reason for this requirement is that once a non-farm dwelling is approved, the entire parcel, be it 5, 10, or more acres, is taken out of farm use because it becomes a rural residence. The purpose of Senate Bill 816 is to clarify existing law to show that land is generally unsuitable for farm use. You have to show that a majority of the parcel on which the house is located must be unsuitable for farm use. Senate Bill 816 would also create a presumption that the best agricultural soils are suitable for farm use. Additionally, the bill codifies current case law by adding the following language to the general exclusive farm use statute, quote, a lot or parcel shall not be considered unsuitable solely because of its size or location if it can reasonably be put to farm use in conjunction with other land. This language is already found in the marginal lands exclusive farm use statute. you'll see that amendments, proposed amendments were passed out to you. And what these amendments do is resolve what was somewhat of a conflict among the counties and Thousand Friends and the Farm Bureau in terms of one provision in the bill. And the language in existing law is that the land must be generally unsuitable for the production of farm crops and livestock, et cetera. The proposed bill, as you see now, the B and Gross version, simply says that the land must be unsuitable. The counties wanted the generally to be inserted, and we've now agreed to that amendment, and we don't think it does any harm to the bill. And it addresses their concern that even if there's a presumption that the land is suitable for farm use because of its soil classifications, a property owner can come back in and use the other factors of the bill to show that maybe this piece of property, in fact, is not suitable. It's just to deal with that presumption. So we're fine with those amendments, and I think the Farm Bureau also thinks those amendments are fine.
Don?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don Schellenberg, Oregon Farm Bureau. I ought to figure out to probably have a winner here when Farm Bureau and Thousand Friends agree on the same bill.
And the counties.
And the counties as well. Farm Bureau members are continually frustrated by the increasing number of non-farm dwellings that are being placed out in the EFU zones. And again, obviously, the intent of the applicant is not to conduct farming activities. Therefore, they often do not appreciate the activities for which the zone was designed and for the activities which must occur out there. So it does cause a problem. That's the reason we believe the issue needs to be addressed. The obvious answer is to prohibit establishment of non-farm dwellings. And I guess if Farm Bureau had its way, we'd probably eliminate Section 3 of 283 and 213, which provides for the establishment of non-farm dwellings if we were to follow Farm Bureau policy to the nth degree. However, we believe that the bill as drafted takes a step in that direction, and we certainly support that. A draft copy of LCDC's report to the Joint Legislative Committee on Land Use that will be presented at some time in the future indicates the copy that I had that there is 218 additional non-farm dwellings approved during their last 12-month reporting period. Some of those parcels were greater than 20 acres on which a non-farm dwelling was allowed, and some of those parcels were wholly class 1 through 3 soils. Don't see how you can establish a non-farm dwelling on those types of parcels. The reason that many of the 218 non-farm dwellings are approved is because paragraph D of section 3 of 215-283 can be interpreted so that you only have to analyze the particular spot on which the house is going to be located as being generally unsuitable, rather than looking at the entire parcel. And the amendments in 816 require the entire parcel to be analyzed when determining whether or not a non-farm dwelling can be established. I'll just conclude by urging your passage of this bill and also indicating that we think this issue points out the need for identifying areas of low-quality soils in EFU zones which are adjacent to exception areas or UGVs, which could in fact be rezoned to some type of rural residential zone. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Kelly?
Thank you.
Representative Jones.
Can I just ask a question of one of the two witnesses? I don't know which one. What are the major exemptions that you're talking about of the 218? What are they, the major category? Are they residences in farm use? Is that what the major exceptions have been? 218 you mentioned, Don, so I'm...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, they have established non-farm dwellings. 218 non-farm dwellings
right.
have been established on parcels of varying sizes and varying soil classes.
Okay, but the major non-farm dwelling, is it a residence? That's my question.
Oh, yes, Representative Jones, yes, it's being used for a residence. There may also be some farming activity occurring there simply because they do have the land, but our opinion would be that if, in fact, they are going to be doing some farming that can be done, then it certainly never should have been a non-farm dwelling. It should have been established as a farm dwelling.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Kelly Ross with the Oregon Association of Realtors. You have my written testimony, and I won't add much to it, but to just say briefly that our main concern with the bill is that it moves in the opposite direction that LCDC is going on the secondary lands program. And as you're well aware, probably, the concept that secondary lands is based on is the feeling that it's unrealistic to define agricultural land solely based on soil class. And LCDC is looking at other factors to consider in defining agricultural land, and I've included for you a flow chart that OSU professor Herb Huddleston has prepared to outlining some of those other factors. As you'll notice in the bill, there's seems to be what we feel is an inconsistency. It's you can automatically assume that land is suitable for farming by looking at class 1 through 4 soils. If you want to try to prove unsuitability, though, it's a much higher burden of proof, looking at terrain, adverse soil or land conditions, drainage and flooding, etc. And we feel that the main goal for looking at farmland should be accuracy, whether or not you're trying to prove suitability or unsuitability, and you should look at all relevant factors. So that's our main consideration.
Okay. Anyone else on this bill? Ross, is that correct that you're supporting the proposed amendments, counties? Okay. So we've got a bill and a set of amendments proposed or supported by Agriculture, 1,000 Friends, and the counties, and opposed by the realtors. I take it that's the situation, all right?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Jones.
Can you tell me what the Senate vote was on this bill?
I don't know what the floor vote was. The committee vote was 4-3.
It actually failed the first time it went to the floor.
It was 4-3 out of committee and failed the first time and then was passed.
18-12. Of course, that's without these amendments.
There's only one word amendment, isn't it?
What?
It's only a one word amendment.
No, there's a series.
Basically.
But basically, it's you're correct. Basically, it has two amendments. It's where you have partial, since you got lot or parcel, and then you've got generally as a adjective is kind of unsuitable, I guess. That's correct. Those are two changes.
The lot or was simply a technical. The addition of the lot or for the lot or parcel was simply a technical correction. It was left out of the original bill. It should have been there.
Okay. And the other change is generally unsuitable.
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Jones.
Can I clarify?
Yes.
Were the counties in support of this bill when it came out of the Senate?
No.
Thank you.
All right, I have closed the hearing on Senate Bill 816. I will thank the witnesses. I will open the work session of Senate Bill 816.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hostetler.
Do you need a motion on the consensus amendments?
Yeah.
Since the realtors are opposing the bill in its entirety, I guess they are not proposing any amendments.
I think, is that correct?
Well, I think my last paragraph of the testimony.
Were any amendments drafted?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll move those amendments that were brought by the realtors, or by the counties, the Farm Bureau, and the 1,000 Friends.
Okay, we move to accept the amendments to 816 proposed by those two groups. Is any objection? Now we'll accept those amendments. Representative Hostetler.
Like I said, I'm done. Somebody else has some amendments.
Anybody else? All right. You have a motion? Representative Parkinson said he'd have a possible minority report. Okay. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Beasley.
I'll move the bill to pass as amended to the House floor.
The Keating moves the bill with the due pass as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Pickard.
Aye.
Representative Wehage.
No.
Representative Dix.
Aye.
Representative Hostica.
Aye.
Representative Jones.
No.
Representative Keesling?
Aye.
Vice Chair Parkinson?
No.
Chair Cease?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Parkinson?
I think I know a way to help the bill a little bit, so I'm going to, I don't have my amendments ready, so I'm going to insert notice of possible minority report.
Mr. Parkinson?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Keesling?
I was just curious what a minority report would be. I'm a little frustrated at this bill because there was obviously, the realtors were interested in some different language, but we didn't have any amendments, and certainly been on the schedule for a while. What would the effect of the amendments be?
Phil, it's still not clear in my mind, but it is coming from that direction. I was under the impression they had amendments drafted.
Well, Mr. Chair,
if there's a way we can come back and work it rather than have a minority report, which takes up a half an hour caucus time.
I would.
You know, and everything else.
I would prefer to deal with this in a more straightforward manner than a minority report. It seems to me that this is an issue that tries to address a court case and clear up the existing system that we have. I think there's issues raised as whether we ought to move to a much different approach in general, particularly in the secondary lands issues. Of course, that's getting worked out. I would serve notice of possible reconsideration if it would be helpful to get at this process in a more straightforward way. Because
we have had a vote, and we had the votes clear, but I have not put the gavel down. So let me go ahead, Representative Hostiger. So let's see if we can get some sense of this.
I was going to serve notice of possible reconsideration, but I'll change my vote to no if that will make it so the motion wasn't adopted, and then we could hear what we might want to clear up.
Let me suggest that maybe we might do that. We will be on call, and if we can come up with a amendment that would be more acceptable to people so that we don't end up with this confusion.
Well, Kelly. Mr. Chairman,
yes.
If the objective is to deal with it today, then I would change to no. If the objective is to deal with it some other time, then I'd serve notice of reconsideration. So what's your intention, Mr. Chairman?
Well, why don't we put, let me put the gavel. We have a motion that is carried, and then we make note that you and Representative Keesley have indicated a possible reconsideration. We have three people who indicated possible minority reports, but the reconsideration will delay that. Yes, Representative Jones.
Let me clarify the timing that we're talking about. Now, we have had notice served a minority, and we also have possible reconsideration. Since the committee is planning to close as of today, what does that do to the process?
Well, I'm not sure on the reconsideration since we're open to on call, but my intent would be to check with the Speaker on Monday to see if we have other bills that have been signed to this committee, and we have a meeting that we could consider this at that point.
Well, the last thing I'd want to do is delay the closing of the committee.
No.
However, my point is that I presume
I would agree
that we
with
could
you
be called back in the session. I mean, the committee
yes.
could be recalled
yes.
at the Speaker's request.
Yes. Mr. Chairman,
Representative Hostiger,
we have to make the choice between coming back to this committee or going to caucus on a minority report. And I don't know exactly what I'm
talking
about. I have to go. I really have no desire to do either. I think that's before the committee or the caucus.
Well, not knowing your caucus, I wouldn't know, but.
Well, you can use your caucus as an example if you like, Mr. Jones.
Oh, getting too bad.
All right, the motion carries. We have an indication of a possible reconsideration. We have also an indication of a possible minority report. Okay, but let me ask at this point if the parties to this particular bill would be willing between now and the, well, there's not really much time, but at least to see whether there could be a possibility of working this issue out.
I think they just want to strike those lines.
We'll get back to you.
I think that would be the best, because I'd agree we don't need another minority report. I think this issue might be resolved very quickly.
I don't like that regard.
That's the last item on our agenda. I want to take the opportunity to thank the staff for their diligent support of the committee. Thank the committee. And by and large, we didn't come unglued in those cases.
No, we did.
We really didn't come unglued, I guess. We are adjourned. Thank you all.
It's relating to soil suitability standards. That's what the relating clause is.
Soil suitability standards.
I never thought of that.